Well, there were some great stories at coasttocoastam.com. I like the ghost photo story in the news section at the bottom of the screen about how a digitally photographed wine cellar ends up with a floating ghost in it. It's kind of cool. You know, it's not an imperfection in the film when you see that anyway. And whatever it is, it's kind of cool. Go take a look at it at coasttocoastam.com. So we're talking about contempt of cop. Some people say that contempt of cop cases are on the rise. It's one of the reasons why there's been so much videotaping of police officers and why so many police officers and their unions are advocating for making it illegal for people to videotape a police officer in the performance of his or her duties, even in public. So the question arises, do police have an expectation of privacy in public? That if they're making an arrest, nobody should ever record what it is except the police, so that there can be no other version of the events that transpired. This is at the center of a debate about a woman who was arrested in Rochester, New York, standing on her own lawn with a video camera in her pajamas, barefoot, and she was videotaping the police officers who had pulled over somebody that they asked, according to Ryan Acuff, a witness last hour, somebody that they had asked, do you have any drugs? And he said no. And they cuffed him, stuck him on the end of the bumper, then on the back of the car, and they threw his car and they found nothing, no drugs. But along the way, one cop got madder and madder at a woman for videotaping that. And she gets arrested for obstruction of governmental duties for standing on her lawn videotaping it. And she faces a hearing coming up on Monday. I sure hope they do the right thing and throw that out. But you never know with this case. We're getting back to that with a professor of criminology. And then later this hour, your calls. So hang on. I know the phones have been very hot. But we'll get to your calls coming up a little bit later on this hour. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. George DeAngelis is a former assistant police chief. Right, George? I'm on a different page, but I had that up earlier. Yes. In El Paso, Texas, before becoming a professor of criminology. I may take your, I'm at the Park University website right now. I might take your introduction to security course.
Wow.
I'm at least looking at it. I'm looking at the syllabus right now. So people can be assured that this is not an anti-cop thing. This is not a matter of we're saying we all hate the police. What it's just saying is that if policing is to be at the highest level of professionalism, should police officers be bothered when they are videotaped? And then the question that comes from out of that is, when are arrests simply an example of contempt of cop, where it's just I'm going to use my authority to show you that you are bugging me and that you don't have a right to bug me while I'm doing my job? Because it's one thing if they do something illegal or threatening. It's another thing just because the cop gets irked. And there shouldn't be a law that says you can't irk a police officer. You know, I mean, that's my George, where are you on that?
Yeah, well, there's such a thing as you can't disturb a policeman's peace.
Okay.
You know, that's one of the things, like, you know, you can't arrest someone for disorderly, for flipping them off, or for, you know, arresting
dropping
someone.
Dropping the F-bomb.
Yeah, you can't do that, you know, because we have to be above that, and we're public servants, unless, of course, you know, this is leading to, you know, something more serious, you know, like inciting a riot or something.
That would be different.
But just between you and the suspect, you know, it's just not, it's not a crime in itself. So that's the same thing, I think, with, you know, videotaping. It serves a bigger purpose, and it's not a crime within itself, unless, like I say, you're putting the officer's safety in jeopardy. Or you're interfering with their duties. And I don't think that occurred in this situation after viewing that video.
We're going to play a little bit more of that coming up here just a second, and you could go look at it by going to coasttocoastam.com. But let me ask you this, and if there were, because I was looking at some of the very strict laws like that some states have that, or some states have proposed but not yet passed, for that matter, that you cannot ever record a video, you can't ever videotape a police officer, even in public, even on the side of the road, no matter what, you can't record a police officer doing their duty. That by having laws like that, will that bring about a freer, better society, in your opinion? Or does that open the door for sort of rampant police abuse to do whatever they want because they feel like if you record them, you're going to end up going to jail anyway?
Well, you know, I think what it does is that it increases the level of suspicions or mistrust between the police and the community, because it brings this question to mind. What is it that you've got to hide that you don't want us to see?
Right.
And so that has more damage than anything. You know, it's like the fear of crime. You know, crime can be down and you can show citizens statistically, but if they don't believe that crime is down, they just feel as unsafe as if crime was way up.
Right.
And so the same thing happens with law enforcement. If you could have a very, you know, good police department, but if you have all these restrictions on how transparent you are, if you don't take complaints, if you don't investigate them aggressively, if you don't allow the public to come in and see you and meet with you, if you don't meet with them and these types of things, then there's this suspicion that exists between you and them, and they're going to come away with this misperception, and they're just going to think there's something wrong here.
So I want to play a little bit more here of the videotape, the audio from the videotape. We've already heard the police officer say, you seem to me to be anti-cop. Go back into your house, which we've already talked about. That really shouldn't be at play. Just being, you know, I'm very pro police officer, but if a cop is doing something wrong, just because I want to point out the fact that the police officer is doing something wrong, it doesn't make me anti-cop. It makes me pro cops that are doing it right. And I think there's a difference. But regardless of whether that's at work in this case, let's play the audio, because there's something else that he says here, George, that seems to me like coded language that I'd love to have you kind of unpack as we play this back. This is a little over a minute here. If you could rack it from the beginning, Nathan, this is the traffic stop of a guy being video recorded by a woman standing in her pajamas, Emily Good, in her pajamas and bare feet on her own lawn in Rochester, New York, just a couple of days ago. Roll it. Nathan? Go ahead. You don't have it there?
You need to stay in your house, guys.
What did I say to you that offended you?
I'm behind us officers when we're doing a traffic stop.
I'm allowed to stand in my yard.
Don't stand in your house.
I'm allowed to stand in my yard. I'm going to stay in my...
I'm going to ask you one more time. We don't feel safe with you standing right behind us when we're doing a traffic stop. I'm going to ask you to go into the house.
Nathan, I'm going to ask you to stop there, because that seems kind of further on into the tape. Could you go back to the beginning and let's catch it from the beginning?
You guys need something?
I'm just... This is my front yard. I'm just recording what you're doing. It's my right.
Actually, down to the sidewalk.
This is my yard.
You seem to be very anti-police, so I don't feel safe to stand up behind you. Why do you mind standing in the house?
I'm going to stand in my yard if that's okay.
Due to what you said to me before you started taping, I think you need to stay in your house, guys.
What did I say to you that offended you?
I'm standing behind us officers when we're doing a traffic stop.
I'm allowed to stand in my yard.
Don't stand in your house.
I'm allowed to stand in my yard. I'm going to stay in my...
I'm
going to
ask you one more time. We don't feel safe with you standing right behind us when we're doing a traffic stop. I'm going to ask you to go into the house.
Okay, you can pause it right there. So that's the part that... And thank you, Nathan. So that's the part right there. He said, before you started videotaping, it's what you said. And he never says what it is that she said. And the neighbor that also was a witness to the entire event last hour on Coast to Coast said... She never said anything. They never said anything to the police officer. And he said, you can even hear it on the videotape. It's the police officer who first engages him by saying, hey, guys, what are you doing? Or whatever at the very beginning. But he seems to, like, be hip to the idea that if he says something that happened that isn't on the videotape, then that gives him an out. Where are you with that, George?
It could very well. I mean, I couldn't follow it either. I mean, I looked it up today on some of the other websites, and some of the other reports actually quoted some sections from the police report. And some of the other reporters said that they could not find any reference to what she had said.
And even if she had said something, I mean, let's just say she said, "I hate police officers. I'm going to videotape this."
Mm-hmm. That in itself is not, justification. I was looking to see if she had said, got a gun or,
I've got a gun. Right. Yeah, or this video camera can fire bullets or something, anything where you feel like, okay, well, that's different. But
it just didn't add up. Just does not add up, and it's a shame because, what he has done, unfortunately, is that he's given the whole Rochester Police Department, all the hardworking men and women of that department and Chief Shepherd, a black eye on a national scale. Everything they've worked
at least temporarily
hard to accomplish is now, at risk.
At risk. And so it's maybe a gray eye until that we know what happens, and then maybe.
Yeah, true. I stand corrected. Yes.
But it's weird. It's weird nonetheless. Okay. So again, looking at this is another example where a lot of people, and I know the phones are very hot right now, and the phones are kind of split. I don't know what the split is, 60-40, 70-30, 30-70, I don't know. But the phones are kind of split, I'm told, between people that are saying that they've got an example of contempt of cop that happened to them, where all they did was just look at a cop funny and he decided, "I'll show you," and found a reason to arrest the cop, for the cop to arrest them. And then the other half of the people saying that this is all anti-police. Police already have it hard enough. Police should be able to allow to do their jobs, that without the sort of unofficial authority to do stuff like this, they'd never be able to get work done.
It is a tough job. It is a very, very tough job, and I'm not trying to minimize that. Having worked the streets myself, I know very well firsthand that it is a very tough and a very dangerous job. But a well-trained police officer knows the right way to do his job, and there's no sense in making it tougher by doing it improperly or to do it unprofessionally.
All right, I'm going to ask you about that though too, because when you say that, it almost, and it speaks to something we put up on the website. Is it true that some cops can develop that over time? They're not trained. They're trained to be above it. They're trained to not let it get the best of them. But after a couple of years on the force, they start to get a little squirrely with the amount of criticism or whatever or just the kind of the daily unpleasantness that can come about as being a police officer sometimes. And so as a result, they get this sort of, as it's referred to, a power hungry disorder. They actually gets to be a psychological problem. How often does that happen?
It happens. It depends on the individual, but I think there's other factors that go into it. It depends on the area or the assignment that the officer's working, the hours that officer's working. I know when I worked canine, we worked primarily the high call hours, very busy, very violent hours, from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. And we worked that permanently. And I worked that for 4 years. And so we were always dealing with, the very, very high profile calls. And so after a while, your patience starts to wear out and you start developing a very short fuse and you have no tolerance for individuals that are just challenging your authority like this. You're quick to react more than you were in other situations, maybe on a different shift or a different, location of town. And so I know when I became an administrator, I started to move officers. You can't be on these hours permanently. We have to move you off, give you 6 month break. And you could see the complaints start to decrease on this officer. you know, and what I had identified, you know, and so has research, not just me. I don't want to make it sound like I'm the, you know, the brilliant one here.
No, I got it, yeah.
But, you know, there's a trilogy of arrests that are indicators that an officer is developing this propensity for contempt of cop.
Can I guess what they are?
Yes, go right ahead.
I read this somewhere, so I'm not totally uninformed, but I was curious to see whether this is true. Disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and assault on a police officer.
Yeah, the disorderly / public intoxication.
Oh, okay.
Resisting arrest, yes.
Right.
And assaulting a police officer.
Okay,
those
I like
are
that.
The three.
That's interesting. You said disorderly or public intoxication, that they can... Like, you know, sometimes if you've had a few drinks and you're not bugging the cop, that's okay. But if you've had a few drinks and he can use that as an excuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. So those three things, if you see a lot of those arrests, a cop getting a lot of those types of busts, then that's an indicator that his fuse might be, or she's fuse might be getting shorter and shorter.
Well, not just by itself, but if you look at what his arrest compared to others in the same area patrol,
right?
You know, the same patrol beat. Then why is this one particular officer always being resisted?
Right.
Whereas other officers in the same beat in the same hours are not being resisted. You know, it could be that he has got this propensity, you know, to not control his anger, to be short fused. To display this problem. So, you know, these early warning systems that law enforcement have now implemented track this. And so when officers have this, then they can start interceding early before you have incidences like this or worse, where an officer has, you know, suspensions and unfortunately even termination.
Right. You know, I think the charge against this woman in Rochester, New York, that we played the videotape of, that's gotten all this national buzz online, is the charge was obstructing somebody in the performance of their governmental duties or something. It's so vague. I just thought that's and obstructing here means what? That she stood between him while he was trying to handcuff a guy? No, it just means standing there was somehow obstructing him.
Right. Yeah. And I wonder what degree of charge is that? Is that a felony or a misdemeanor?
I don't know.
And the other thing that's really disturbing about it is, okay, it gets dismissed, but that you know, Emily's got a police charge on her now. She's got a police record. You know, if she has to get an attorney to fight this, the damage is done.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that'll come out of her pocket. Although, as we heard last hour from her neighbor, Emily is an environmental activist, so she may already have an arrest or two on her record anyway. And so that part may not be the part that bothers her. It just seems wrong, though, that regardless of who that person is, whoever it is, we should be able to talk to a police officer or videotape a police officer in a manner which is respectful. And everything we see about this case, the woman was doing nothing more disrespectful than just what was in the officer's mind. It seems like, from where I sit anyway, it was just he didn't like the idea that she was videotaping him, and that in itself was a disrespect. He told her to stop and she didn't. And the second that he gave her that order as a police officer and she didn't obey, then she was in contempt. And that's the part that seems to be what brings us right back to where we are. So we're going to take some calls. Are you going to take them with us, if you would, Professor? Right?
I'd love to.
Okay, because it's going to be important, because as a former assistant police chief in El Paso and now a professor of criminology, some of this is going to be right in your wheelhouse. And I want to get to that coming up. People talking about the cases where they either have felt like they were arrested for contempt of cop, where it was clearly a case of abuse of police authority, or for the other way around, where people feel like, you know what, cops should be given free rein to do their jobs as they see fit, regardless of what we think as an observer at the side of the road. It seems to be the way the phones are going on this, but we'll find out. So we'll roll the numbers for you coming up in just a minute on Coast to Coast, and we'll get you in the conversation. Coming up tomorrow night, by the way, George Knapp is going to be talking a little rock music. He's talking it with David Brown, who's a Rolling Stone writer. It's a cool book. Actually, talking about the year 1970 in the history of rock music and why that was really the pivotal year. Not 1969, but 1970, the true culprit to the end of peace and love. That's coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast. Back with your calls next. So again, just a little history on this story. I was going to one of the Ron Paul websites because I had heard about his argument for the proposal for the decriminalization of marijuana. And I happen to believe in that. I just think it's a big waste of time to go after pot users and pot sellers and whatever. I just kind of feel like that I'm one of those people that believes tax it, and whatever happens, happens, because there's not any big difference between that and alcohol. And as a non-drinker, I've never understood, ever understood, why some people would say it's okay to drink this liquid, but it's wrong to smoke that weed. But that just being the reason, I went to sort of see what his quotes were on that, and I saw this story about this woman in Rochester, New York, who was arrested for standing on her lawn videotaping a police officer, and it brought up a bunch of conversations about contempt of cop and liberty. That one of the greatest threats to our liberty is a police department which is unaccountable to anybody. And that by videotaping police doing their jobs in public, not wiretapping cops, not, you know, putting hidden cameras inside of police departments, but just out in the public, being able to videotape a police officer, this is one way to help keep our legal system transparent and accountable to the public, you know, to which it serves. So, I was struck by this story, and I watched it, and we started finding experts on it, and that's how we ended up with Professor George DeAngelis from Park University, who's been studying cases of contempt of cop. And we'll get back to your calls on this coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so let's get to the phones for George DeAngelis, a professor at Park University in Missouri, also a former assistant police chief in El Paso, Texas, and the subject of contempt of cop. Let's start with Jeff in San Bernardino, California, west of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Jeff?
Hi, Ian. Yeah, very interesting program tonight. I've actually had similar circumstances to Emily in my life, being an activist. And, oh, by the way, that marijuana issue with Ron Paul is H.R. 2306.
Thanks.
I do a lot of legal research, so there's an example. And one of the things that's happened to me is I've been in handcuffs, in the back of police cars sometimes. I have a technique that has gotten me out every time they're just fishing or acting under color of authority beyond the scope of their legal duty. And what I do is I say, Officer Gilchrist, do you understand the finer points of Penal Code Section 832.5, which in California is the procedure and protocol for citizens' complaint against law enforcement? Any complaints can be used against their pay raise, their promotions, they're getting hired elsewhere. And attorneys will subpoena that record if, for instance, they're on trial for excessive use of force. And if there's several in there, it establishes patterns and practices which go against that officer. Every time I've brought that up, if there's more than one officer, they look at each other funny, they hand me back my ID, they close their citation book, and they say, thank you, Mr. Wright, please go. Something to that effect.
And well, let me get the professor on that. So, George, where are you on that? Does that sound like it has the ring of truth for it, for what would be a threat to the future financial success of a police officer?
Well, I don't know if he was on a phone or my phone was breaking. I just caught parts of that. If you could just summarize it.
Oh, he just said that he brings up to the arresting officers if he feels like there's been, he's an activist, and he brings up the fact that other police departments can review, you know, their arrest record, and it can be subpoenaed whether or not they've had a lot of unlawful arrests or arrests that didn't go through for prosecutions or whatever. That would make them seem like a liability for a future job prospect. George, did we lose you again?
I don't know about their arrest record. If he's talking about complaints against the officer, That is subpoenable.
Yeah.
And that surely would become an issue if there was any type of lawsuit filed against the officer individually or against him, against his department.
Okay. Let me grab Jason, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. The subject is contempt of cop. Let's make sure that George DeAngelis can hear these calls. Nathan, if there's somebody, if we need to turn this up a little bit. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, number one, I love your program. I've been listening to this since I started this night job, and I've been hooked ever since I started. But I grew up in Fairfax County, Virginia, and now live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I've also noticed that, you know, if you're ever having like a party or a group gathering and the cops are called for a disturbance, if they come to your door and you're standing in your doorway talking to them, you're fine. If they ever ask you to step outside your house to talk to them, don't do it because it's a ploy to get you outside so they can get you for drunk in public.
Oh, hang on a second. Is that George DeAngelis, is that something you've heard of too?
That is a common... Yeah,
that's a ploy. That's like a real ploy.
That is a ploy. If they, especially if they detect, some type of attitude on you, they can't go in, and so they're not going to be able to arrest you. So the old, thing is, come on outside. We want to talk to you. And once you're outside, you're in public. Then you're under the statutes of the state for public intoxication.
Well, yeah. Go ahead then, Jason. That's very interesting. I'm glad. I'd never heard of that ever. That's a note. Go ahead, Jason.
A lot of people don't know that. They trust the police. Now, one thing I do want to say is, I'm not pro cop or anti cop. They're human. You know what I'm saying? And everybody has emotions. And if you have that authority, sometimes you don't realize you're abusing it. You know what I'm saying?
You get used to having it. You don't even really realize it. Right.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to say that they're bad people or anything like that, but, we're all human. Also, in Fairfax County, a few years ago, I seen on the news that they were going into bars and arresting people for drugs in public. I don't know how they got away with that. It was on the news. And down here in South Carolina, I got pulled over twice in a half hour by the same officer. In his initial stop, he treated me like I stole my own vehicle. And I think he was in training because there was had two officers pulling behind me. And a guy had his hand on his gun, and he didn't even come to my window. He stood behind my truck cab window. And my wife was laughing at him because he was, like, kind of cockeyed and short. And I don't think he liked that too much. But he gave me a ticket for a rolling stop sign in my own neighborhood. And we were on our way. On the way back, I'm going down my street. He comes flying up behind me and pulls me over and starts yelling at my wife to give him his ID, her ID. I'm like, well, why did you pull me over? He said, shut up. And I said, you need to tell me why you pulled me over. He said, don't tell me how to do my job. ID right now, I'm taking you to jail. I told my wife, give me your ID. Because I didn't want to have to go through the hassle of bailing her out and all that
stuff.
So she gave her her ID, and he gave her a ticket for breach of peace. We went to court, and there's a little courtroom with the judge looked like Colonel Sanders. And the officer. Me and my wife. And he said that there was an obscenity yelled out, and he seen my truck pulling into my neighborhood, and he gave her a ticket for cursing in public or something. And my wife never said nothing. She was found guilty. Now she has a criminal record. And they told me I could pay $400 and she could do some community service, and they'll take it off her record.
Well, I hope you did that.
Well, I didn't, because... I really don't have the money right now.
If you don't have the money, dude, I understand that. But I hope it wasn't just a matter of because you didn't think she was worth it. That's all. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. Right now, I mean, we just had a baby.
$400 is $400. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. 7 days a week just to support Florida.
I get that. I was just having fun with you. All right. So, yeah, I totally. So that's so interesting. Thank you, Jason. And thank you for listening, too. So George, then, breach of peace. Would that also be one of those sort of coded contempt of cop charges they could throw at you?
Yeah. And, from just gathering what he said, I mean, I got the impression that it wasn't, a big, heavily populated area.
Right.
So I don't know what where the breach occurred. You know, it just seemed like it was something that he thought it was said at him. And so that would just seem to me to be a little contempt there.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Are there other things like that? Other little, you know, for lack of a better word for them, cop tricks where you could, like that idea about inviting somebody out of their home onto the sidewalks or out to their front lawn so you could arrest them for public intoxication. Are there a lot of those kinds of tricks that cops use?
Oh, I can't tell you that, Ian. No, I'm just joking.
I have to take your class.
There are things, you know, it's like the Marine Corps. You got to adapt, overcome, and you know, do what you can under certain circumstances. You know, use creativity, but you know, like, you know, you've got someone in a house that, you know, it's in there, but you don't have a warrant. So, you know, you tell them, you know, sir, can you come outside? We think someone hit your car, and we need to find out who, you know, so we can make the initial report. No, and it's a hit and run. Oh, you know, guy comes running outside, and then you just cuff him. You know, it's just, okay. You know, and deception is allowed. I mean, it's
no, that's totally legit.
That, you
know? No, I'm not saying it, but I was reading more like the idea of if you're bugging a police officer for whatever reason,
yeah,
and they have ways of getting you to sort of do something or say something so that they can get you on it. You know,
yeah.
That idea. Okay, so there are other things like that? I think, but you don't have to give me an answer now. But if one occurs to you, let me know. Let me grab Treasure.
Yeah, okay.
First time caller line, Treasure in Las Vegas, which is hard to find in Las Vegas, on coast to coast. Treasure, go ahead.
Hello, I'm wondering how our First Amendment rights work into this contempt of cops thing. Because it seems to me that they're not arresting people for crimes, they're arresting people for attitudes. And that's chilling to me that police have that kind of power to take your liberty away from you because they don't like the looks of you, or they don't like,
right,
that you
don't like,
them.
Attitude. Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Am I following that correctly? That's what this happens a lot? Because I'm shocked and appalled, actually, because not liking, it's perfectly legal not to like the police. As a matter of fact, they're agents of the government. So if you have grievance against the police, it's that unpopular speech which is most important to be protected. That woman was very polite to the policeman when he told her to stop filming, but if she'd been outwardly rude to him, that wouldn't
right.
have been a crime.
Even if she had been, it wouldn't have been a crime, and she wasn't. Your point is well taken, that she was perfectly polite. And that just goes to show you that even if she had been, she still should have been protected for that. But George, it's a great question. Do we know what the statistics are for contempt of cop? I mean, is there any way to ever sort of categorize that and judge it? Can't we?
No, I don't have statistics. But like I say, the police or law enforcement is tracking these trilogy of arrests and trying to get a handle on some type of statistical analysis of it.
Right. Okay, very good. And then let's go to George in California on Coast to Coast. George on a wild card line. Go ahead.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. My
yep.
question is, what are the three states that are mega illegal to videotape?
Yeah, Illinois is one of them. George, what are the others? Do you know?
No, I do not know off the top of my
I can look
head.
That up real quickly. It's Illinois. I want to say it's not Texas. Right.
Not Texas.
I'll find for you a second, George, and I'll get that coming up.
It might be Connecticut. I'm not certain.
This is a state issue, but at a federal level, could the TSA use the same kind of tactic against us?
Go ahead. Could any of the federal agencies, George, use the same tactics?
As far as what do you call it? As far as secretly or taping someone, they take that even a little bit more serious than municipal police officers do. They do not like to be taped without knowledge. So they come under the wiretapping grounds. So, yes, it's an issue that does go through municipal police, state police, and federal police.
Okay. I'm going to look up those states that, if you can too, George, you might have a better way of checking that. But I did see it in the ABC News story. It said three states, and I just haven't gone back there to look at it.
I just don't recall them off the top of my head.
Kate is in Bend, Oregon, on a wild card line on Coast to Coast for Professor George DeAngelis of Park University. We're talking about contempt of cop. Kate, where are you with this?
Hi.
Go ahead.
I have two quick points. Number one, I don't recall if it was Dateline or 2020. Last night, they had a first responder with the fire department who was using his phone to videotape a fatal car accident and put it on YouTube. And I think that's kind of a flip of what you're talking about tonight. My second point, there was a psychiatrist, Dr. Eric Byrne, wrote a book, I believe, in the 70s. And the title of the book was Games People Play. And one of the games was Cops and Robbers. And Dr. Byrne's contention is they are the same personality types on opposite sides of the spectrum.
Oh, that's interesting. That would not surprise me one bit. The idea of the cops and robbers. I mean, that's been the theme of a million really good movies, you know, about how close cops and robbers are to each other. That's really the theme of the movie The Departed, you know, right? With that great movie from a couple years ago, which came up in the news again last week with the rest of Whitey Bulger. But I looked it up. It's Illinois, Massachusetts, and Maryland are the three states specifically prohibiting the recording of a police officer, even in public. But she brings up those are interesting points that Kate has, and we're getting to the top of the hour. So let me get one or two other people in, and then we'll get another hour of your calls, and then we'll do open lines for the last hour of the show on Coast to Coast. John is in Texas on a wild card line. John?
I'll try to make this as quick as I can, Ian. My son lives in South Texas, was having an argument with his girlfriend, and he decided to leave the house, and he was walking down the street to go to the store and get some food or whatever. Anyway, he was kind of stumbling around there, and he got stopped by police and arrested. He provided his, you know, driver's license, and they looked it up, and he had some insufficient checks, so they arrested him, carried him in. Well, when he got to the jail, his girlfriend came down there to bond him out. She didn't have enough money to bond him out, so he was talking to her on the phone, and the police, they listened to those conversations, you know, over the telephone. Well, they heard him threatening to kill himself, you know, to do bodily harm to himself, so they segregated him and put him on suicide watch so he could be watched, you know, 24 hours a day. Well,
right.
Not 6 hours later, he my son requested to go take a shower. Well, they allowed him to go take a shower, not knowing that he had ripped off a cord of one of the televisions within the unit or wherever it was at, and he had a cord, and he went in there and he hung himself in the shower without being watched.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm very, very sorry for that.
Well, I appreciate that, but let me tell you, they called the EMT. He's been resuscitated. He got off the ventilator last week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but he has acute brain damage.
Oh, gosh.
And he was just as normal could be, as a 24-year-old healthy kid. And now, because the police did not follow through within the jail to watch a person on suicide watch.
Right.
4 hours. They left him alone for 10 minutes. He's basically a vegetable. And
James,
I want to know what the professor thinks of that, if we have any recourse with the legal system. That's all I wanted.
I'm going to put you on hold here. George, do you hear music too, or is that just me in my headphones?
I hear a little bit of music, yes.
Yeah, Nathan, I think something has been bleeding out over the air over the last few minutes here, so if you can address that. Okay, so then, George, what do you think of that?
Oh, you know, what a terrible situation. And there has been, I'm sure, I'm not an attorney by any means, but, you know, the care and custody of inmates falls under the Eighth Amendment and under you know, cruel and unusual punishment. And there has been precedent set.
I'm afraid we're out of time. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll get back to this. More questions and calls next on Coast to Coast.